Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
Hello, Jay.
All right. We are back. There is plenty to talk about. What a very interesting week. What a very interesting week.
Matt Gaetz and we don't even have to talk about Matt Gaetz this
week. But we do. Who doesn't want to see that guy go to jail? So I'm going to start out with my thoughts on the new HBO documentary series, Q Into the Storm. Brad, I've gone down the rabbit hole. I know quite a bit about Q and QAnon sort of followers and what have you, just because I do a lot of reading about it, because I find the, like, watching a cult be created in real time is fascinating, especially a political one. So I knew quite a lot. And again, this is on HBO Max, if folks haven't seen it. It's a 6-part documentary series, and it's all out there now. It was week by week, but it's out now. It's really good, and HBO did an excellent job. I don't remember the guy's name who is the sort of documentarian, but he spent 3 years working on this. So he's been in the thick of it for a long time. And anything, by the way, I'm going to like talk spoilers, whatever. You should still see it, right? Like, it's not a narrative film. So like, to get this information still matters, and to see it all kind of put together is great. But it largely starts out with the documentary kind of focusing on like, what is QAnon and like the people who promote it and like what they refer to themselves as Q-tubers, right? Like these.
Watch.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm shocked that term hasn't come up before now. Like, I'm shocked that it's a term I've never heard of until
I know.
It's literally uttered from your lips.
You're welcome. So they're like the people who make all these, you know, YouTube videos, and here's another Q drop. Here's another bit of genius from the man, the military insider or whatever bullshit. And so it focuses on them for a while. Mm-hmm. And then it starts to go to, well, where are these Q drops being dropped, right? And they kind of go through, they deal with this guy Frederick Brennan, who people have probably seen. He's the guy, he's got brittle bones disease, so he's like in a wheelchair. It's like a small guy, he's in a wheelchair. And he's the guy who basically, like, he was like, yeah, I was on 4chan, you know, for a long time, and then I, you know, they started like really moderating it, and I was like, yeah, fuck this, you know, freedom of speech. So I created 8chan, right? And it was like, I was going to let people do whatever they wanted to do. And you hate Frederick Brennan, right? Because you're like, this guy doesn't fucking get it. But in any good story, people are complex. And Frederick Brennan is complex because he was a kid, right? He was like 21 or something when he created 8chan, right? He was like 21, 22. He was super young. And it turns out, like, he was running it and, like, he couldn't keep it up because – like, one, it was growing too fast, and so Q was like putting stuff on 4chan, and then he eventually, like, Frederick Brennan got the help of Ron and Jim Watkins, this father and son, in Manila, the Philippines, and they were like, oh, you can host 8chan on our server, right? And they, you know, like, they're shady dudes, right? Because, like, they worked in the porn industry, and like they stole 2chan from this original Japanese guy. And like, there's all these shenanigans around the chants, right? So it kind of goes through that. And then the evolution of Q moving from doing Q drops on 4chan to Q doing, moving to 8chan, and why that happened, right? Because there's like some technical shit behind it, and there's also some shady shit behind it. And like, one of the guys on one of the message boards is like, hey man, like, that's not the real Q. And they're like, this is real Q. No, this is him. No, believe us, please. And they basically like put up this, like, there's these things called trip codes where you can kind of track if this person is legit, right? And so Q eventually moves to 8chan. And 8chan starts to get connected with all these like mass shootings. And like they literally, and I hadn't seen this, they literally show footage of the Christchurch shooter. Like he streamed it live on 8chan.
Yeah, it was I remember around that time a lot of podcasts had talked about that. And that's when like Ron Watkins especially came up a lot because he was sort of the dude behind the site. I never heard of the other guy, Frederick Brennan.
Yeah, so Frederick Brennan, yeah, he created HM. Ron Watkins, the son, Jim Watkins is his dad. Ron Watkins is the admin of HM, right? He goes by Code Monkey Z. And so like, so that was like kind of crazy, right? At the same, I mean, like they literally showed footage of it being streamed. Like, of course they stopped it when it was like the actual murders and shit. But like showing the reactions of 8chan users like, oh shit, it's real. This is awesome. Like it was fucked up. Right. And so they show that sort of evolution of that. By the way, they show the evolution of where QAnon and all this shit came from. And shocking news, Brad. People have been saying this for years that this was a bad idea and we should take it seriously. Gamergate, right? Mm-hmm. Like they show the guy who started Gamergate and like he looks exactly what you would think he would look like a fucking loser, right? This guy. And like you just show this sort of weaponized, pathetic, sad guys who are just so mad at the world. Mm-hmm. And they create this, you know, they sort of create these personas and what have you. And then they kind of show how Q just starts ramping up. And so then the documentary kind of hard pivots to focusing on Ron and Jim Watkins. Because it's very obvious if you've read anything about QAnon and you follow this, or you're watching the documentary and your brain fucking works, that these guys are 100% involved in getting – and like either they are Q – or they both are Q. Like, it's obvious, right? At least it's obvious to me. And then, like, you realize, like, they got called in front of Congress at one point. And, like, there's a number of fucking things that happened. And the documentary actually culminates to they actually came to the U.S. and they were at the fucking Capitol riot. They were there, right? And they were literally fucking cheering it on. Because these two... especially Jim Watkins, the dad, he's an American, right? He moved to the Philippines. The age of consent over there is 12 years old. Just saying. Gee, I wonder why an older white guy would move to the Philippines to start an organic farm? Get the fuck out of here, okay? Like, this guy looks like Limburger cheese smells, okay? Like if you look at a picture of Ron Watkins, you'd be like, yeah, no, that makes sense, right? Like, that analogy works. And so him and his son are both like total creeps. Like his son is like clearly porn addicted. Like it's really weird. Like they're very not neurotypical, both of them. And so they're both incredibly smart, like just hard intellectually, but socially, like there ain't nothing going on that's normal there. Like it just not. So it kind of culminates into that. And there's literally a moment where they interview Jim Watkins, the dad, at the Capitol riot. And he's just looking like proudly at this Capitol riot. And they're like, you know, how do you feel about this? He was like, I'm really proud of my son. It's like, yeah, because your son pulled off one of the biggest fucking hoaxes of all time. Right. And he's like, this will go down in history books. Like he's so fucking proud of what his son was able to come because he's a troll too, right? These guys are both fucking losers. And then the documentarian, he actually is on like a Skype call or whatever with Ron Watkins, the son. Mm-hmm. And he all but lets it slip that he was fucking Q because he's not neurotypical. So he can't keep down this, like he's not able to like – lie like a normal sociopath would lie, where you just be like, you just keep a straight face. He can't, right? Like, he's been working with this guy and documenting all this shit for 3 years. He's been running around the world duping millions of people into believing this shit. He wants to take the credit. Like, he can't. That's kind of the whole problem
with, you know, developing something like this is that you don't just want to let it go unsung.
No, people got to know.
Human nature, man.
Right. Like, and so at one point he says, well, you know, I like, and the documentary does a really good job. It like plays back all these things that he says to counteract what he's saying in the end. And he's like, well, you know, I don't ever even post in the Q research boards. Like I don't even do that. Like I'm, you know, like I, you know, I see a couple things, but like, I don't really post there except for as admin. And then in the end he says, well, you know, I've been teaching normies how to do intelligence gathering anonymously for years. Like, so, it, you know, it's cool. And then like him in the documentary, like they kind of catch that moment. And they both laugh like, dude, you just gave up the fucking ghost. You, who are you posting as anonymously? And then he goes, and he literally stops himself from laughing. He's like, but not as Q. Like, no, dude, it is obvious that's who you're talking about. And like, and I didn't catch this. I was reading someone's comment and they caught it and I went back and watched it. After he says that and he laughs, he literally like looks off from the camera, like from facing the camera, and you can hear him say, fuck, like, fuck, I fucked up, right? Like I clearly, and that's when he kind of stops laughing to try to clear himself so he can say, oh, well, you're not as cute. And he's like, and the documentarian's like, okay, like, it's cool. We got it. Thanks. But he couldn't help himself. But it's not about that end result. It's about the journey of the docuseries. It's very good. And like for people who think that the internet and the real world are wildly disconnected, like a lot of older generation people think that, not like QAnon people, but just people like, oh, like why are you getting upset about stupid things people say? This is why. Because like that trolling shit that started, that turned into Gamergate, that turned into QAnon, turned into the Capitol riots. Like, it's not nothing. Like, these things are serious.
And the funny thing is, so, like, cults historically, previously, usually required a cult of personality type of figure at the head of them, because you need someone with an immense amount of charisma to be able to kind of hold everybody together and to draw people in and things of that nature. And the thing that's dangerous about the internet is that you don't need that, because things can spread so exponentially because of how many people are sharing and, you know, going in, and there's not, and it's flying at you so fast, and there's not time to really sit down and verify a lot of information that it's doesn't require what it, you know, what cults used to require. And also because, you know, the internet, you don't have to be connected in a physical space. The amount of people that get sucked into this kind of stuff is also exponentially bigger. You know, you talk like how many people were in Jonestown? Like it wasn't
like hundreds. You know,
yeah, it was hundreds. It wasn't millions of people.
Right.
So yeah, that's I'm going to watch the documentary at some point. I'm a little afraid to, because the more that you learn about QAnon, like it just really puts a sick feeling into your stomach as being someone who's not like a fucking insane person.
Well, when you watch it, you question, like, how could anyone in their right mind believe this shit? How?
Well, I mean, that's
it's crazy
how I feel about most cults anyway.
Yeah.
But then again, society is driven by cult mentality throughout history. Like, it's not like, you know.
Don't do it, Brad.
I'm not. I mean, but you know what I'm thinking.
Yes, of course.
You know what I'm thinking. So, yeah. So, like, it's while I would think, yeah, how can anyone in their right mind believe this Q bullshit? How can anyone in their right mind can believe a lot of bullshit that a lot of people
I mean,
that's out there? So,
yeah. To quote Bill Burr, you're just believing in a bearded baby moonwalking across a lake. Like, like shit doesn't make sense. It doesn't. So, yeah, I highly recommend it. I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this, you're into politics anyway. You should watch it. Like, and you should watch it for the cameos. Like, there's a couple of you like, oh shit, I remember that guy. Oh shit. Oh, that guy was at the Capitol riots. I remember him, like, showing up at other things, like, beforehand. So that's like super fascinating. And then just the people, like, the shit that they tried to pull to get people off their scent is interesting. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just interesting. And Frederick Brennan's story is fascinating, right? Because he is the single force keeping – because now it's not called 8chan anymore. It's called 8kun. He's a single force trying to keep it off the internet, basically.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I said. Like from what little I had heard about him previously, like, he's very regretful about his role in what's happened. So
yeah, he was a kid. He was a kid. He wasn't. I mean, you kind of almost understand it. He's a kid with a debilitating diagnosis, who is made fun of constantly and, you know, just brutalized by, you know, assholes in society. So his thing is, fuck the world.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But again, everybody's like, he is complex, because you do think like, Jesus fucking Christ, dude, what the hell's wrong with you? And then you see his story and you go, I get it. And I'm glad you're like, he doesn't just go, well, I regret that. He's like, no, not only do I regret it, I'm going to burn this shit to the ground. And you're like, I can respect that, right? You can make a mistake and you can be mad at him for making that mistake. But that dude is not sitting on his laurels just going, well, that mistake happened. Like, he's like, no, this is my entire life, is to knock these guys off the fucking block. Like, that's his whole thing. And he's pretty successful at it. So, yeah. Q into the storm. It's damn good. The second I heard HBO was doing it, I was like, I'm all in. Like, they're so good at documentaries, man. Like, they really are. Especially any cult shit. Like, that is like HBO's wheelhouse. So yeah, highly recommend. So definitely go out and watch it. All right, Brad. You go ahead and tell me why corporations aren't people, my friend.
Well, so it's funny, because what we're seeing now, we saw this a little bit during the early years of Trump's presidency, when Republicans were, you know, burning Nikes and throwing Keurigs off of balconies and things of that nature. as those companies supported causes they didn't like. We're now seeing that kicked up into super high gear, because a lot of corporations are not being hesitant about speaking out against Republican bullshit in general. So we saw it in the wake of the restrictive voter laws that Georgia just passed. Mm-hmm. Delta, Coca-Cola, both companies based in Georgia, by the way, employ quite a few Georgians, both spoke out against the law. And then Major League Baseball came in last week and decided to move the All-Star game, which was originally scheduled to be played in Atlanta this season, to Denver. And it's because, the reason that they cited was because of the voter ID laws that Georgia passed, and that it doesn't demonstrate the values that MLB believes in. That's, of course, bullshit. What they saw is a lot of protests and things of that nature.
They don't want that smoke.
And they don't want, and exactly correct, they do not want that smoke. And it's great, because Republicans are having, and when I say Republicans, I mean, like, especially like elected Republicans, are having a mini freakout, because they're slowly coming to the realization that corporations value left dollars much more than right dollars at this point.
I mean, here's the thing. There are more of us than there are you.
Not, right? not only that, but there are more of us in key specific demographics. Yeah. If you're Major League Baseball, you don't grow your sport by appealing to people that are 55 and older. You grow it by appealing to people that are in their 20s. And by and large, the vast majority of folks that are in their 20s do not vote Republican.
Yeah, no. And, you know, so you're right. There's, you know, there's a sort of long ball aspect of it, right? Which is just smart business. Mm-hmm. But there's also the idea of, why are we in the business of, like, promoting bigotry? You know what I mean? Like, just from a historical aspect, do you really want to be like, oh yeah, it's fine. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you've got players who are affected by this. You have players whose families are affected by this, or their communities are affected by this. Does Major League Baseball really want to have another – like, they don't want a Colin Kaepernick situation. They want to make sure that their players are like, y'all cool? Good.
All fucking sports, Major League Baseball does not want – and that's the funny thing about it, is that think of how on the side of conservatism – you have to be for Major League Baseball, the most conservative sports league on the planet Earth.
Right.
To be like, this is too conservative for us.
Yeah.
That's like it's one thing if like the NBA is like, you know, fuck y'all. Cause NBA right. is progressive as shit. Like
it just
even, even though it's yeah, even though they're owned by, you know, mostly white billionaires, most of the players are black and
they have
are
a lot in of touch power.
With right, and they have a lot of power. Baseball is not that. Baseball is like the no fun league. Like baseball is getting mad about people flipping bats when they hit home runs and stuff like that.
Right.
Like
it's also incredibly white. It's also incredibly white.
It's of the major sports, it is the second most white, yes.
For what, sure. Hockey?
Hockey is definitely more white than baseball is, so.
I mean, Brad, they play on white ice, for God's sake.
That's true. But yeah, so like if you're like, if you're getting Major League Baseball to speak out against you, like that, like think how fucked up you
yeah,
are.
You fucked
like, up. Like this is the organization that can't get a designated hitter to be something that happens league wide because people are too, are hanging on to shit from, you know, 50 years ago that they just can't fucking let go. We like to have the pitchers hit. You're tarnishing the game by putting in a DH.
Like, come
like,
on,
get
dude.
The fuck out of here. And Andy's going to come on next week and yell at me, by the way, because since Andy is a National League Baseball fan, like he, of course, loves pitchers hitting. And I grew up with the DH all my life. So fuck pitchers hitting.
No, pitchers shouldn't hit. Get out of here. They might they might break their precious hand. But
yeah, so and like I said, Republicans are lashing out. But it's because they're scared.
Yeah, no, they should.
Because they're afraid.
I mean, and like, wasn't McConnell? Talk about McConnell's point of view, because I thought you had a perfect analogy from like the NBA thing.
Yeah, well, it's funny because and that ties into the next story I have here, where it says Republicans are looking for the guy who did this. Meanwhile, they're wearing like the hot dog suit,
right?
Essentially. So Mitch McConnell on Tuesday, basically. Came up, you know, gave a little speech or a little saying where he told sports to stay out of politics. Sorry, not sports, but businesses to stay out of politics.
Yeah, that's a bold move, Mitch. It's a bold move.
Well, it's why he decided to walk that back today because he realized that that did not come off too well, especially because the people that are opening the door for corporations to come into politics,
look,
are those guys.
But here's the thing, Brad.
Are those guys?
Call his bluff. I'd be like, right. You're right. Why don't we remove all of their influence? Yeah, me and Mitch, that's together.
That's the thing. Like the Georgia, you know, House is passing a resolution to roll back tax cuts that they give to Delta. It got killed in the Georgia Senate.
Of course it did.
But at the same time, they're just like, yeah, we're gonna take these tax cuts away from Delta because this is bullshit. They're speaking out against us. And I'm sitting here like, don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah, like, dude.
What the fuck are you doing?
We should get money out of politics. We should. That's a good idea, Mitch McConnell. Right. You're a fucking genius. Look, let him head it.
That's.
I'd be like, bring it up for a vote. I dare you to bring it up. Ooh, what's gonna happen? I'd be like, we're gonna vote for it. Surprise! Fuck him.
But that's the thing, though. That was his argument. Wasn't get money out of politics.
Right.
His argument was give us the money. Just shut the fuck up while you're doing it.
Yeah, I believe you wrote on Facebook. You were like, shut up and donate. I mean, it really is absolute. That's definitely the title. That's just to me, that is quintessential the Republican Party and quintessential Mitch McConnell hypocrisy, right? Like this very idea that corporations shouldn't have undue influence if it's against us. Like, right? They can have undue influence on everything else. They can donate as much money to us, they can stand by while we do horrible things and hurt people and never say anything. And by the way, they're also people, right? It's political free speech, but they're not allowed to make any changes as long as they're not against Republicans.
Here's what he really wanted to say. And he can't because this gives the game away, gives the game away even more than what he said on Tuesday did. But what he really wants to say, what all the Republicans want to say, is don't bite the hand that feeds you, essentially.
Yeah.
Like that's basically what they're coming across. But again, here's the thing. Republicans threatening to roll back tax breaks on corporations is the emptiest, most idle threat that I've ever heard in my entire life.
What else are you going to do? Dude, that's your whole policy strategy.
Right, and these companies know that because they're not going to do it. Like, they're just not going to fucking do it because there's enough companies out there. No. You're not going to specifically target corporations that make you mad because then you look petty as shit. And they know that you're not going to roll it back anyway.
And you can't do that.
Right.
Right. You can't just be like, and the airline company. No, you know, you can't do that. Like, that's going to piss people off. But they don't have, they have two policies. Corporation tax cuts, rich people tax cuts. That's it. Oh, and like, so they fuck trans or gay people, basically, right?
Yeah, white grievance is the third policy, and that's a huge umbrella that encompasses all the other.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's more of an overarching motto, if you will. But they don't really have anything else. So this idea of like, we're going to take back tax cuts from these wealthy companies. Okay, I don't believe you. Like, I think you're lying, and it, like you said, it's a totally empty threat. If I'm Delta, I'm like, suck my dick. You're not going to do shit. And if you do, we're going to make your lives a living hell. I'm going to give all of the money to Democrats to fuck you up in the midterms. That's what I would do. Fuck you. Like, whatever. Like, frankly, I'd do it anyway. Like, do it anyway, dude. They still passed this fucking bullshit law in Georgia. Like, it got passed. It's not like it got brought up. You threatened to do, you know, you threatened to like, you know, leave or move your hub or something like that. And they were like, all right. Like it already got passed. So at this point, we're in fuck you territory. We're not in threatened territory. We're in fuck you territory. So for me, if I'm Delta or Coke and all this other stuff, I'm in fuck you territory. So I'm going full in. This shit is, the die has already been cast. We told you not to do it. You decided to do it. Cool. Let's rock and roll. Yeah, right. You got to learn a lesson. Frankly, I mean, Coca-Cola's not moving, but Delta could move a hub. They could.
Coca-Cola could move if they really wanted to.
They could. I mean, that's a big operation to move. Have you ever been to
I have actually.
Yeah. I had a friend who used to work for Coca-Cola. Micah obviously knows this person because they were his neighbor. Yeah, she used to work for Coca-Cola. That's a big fucking complex in Georgia. It's crazy.
It's fucking huge. But I don't think they would either because Georgia again Georgia's a purple state right now for all intents and purposes.
Right. And you would also, by moving those companies out of there, you're hurting just Georgia citizens, right? Like Coca-Cola would lose how many employees?
Not only that, but you would be hurting the very voters that you're trying to protect because the Coca-Cola factory is literally like in the middle of fucking Atlanta. Like it's not like it's in some fucking backwoods county in Georgia. Like it's in the city center.
Right. Like you're hurting a lot of people who were like, yeah, we support you. Please don't fuck us over by leaving.
Right.
But you could move it. You could, like, if you're Delta, look, you really want to fuck them up? Hey, Southwest, move your hub. Isn't there a hub in fucking Georgia?
I thought they were in Texas.
Oh, maybe it is Texas.
Because I think people called them out for not saying something about the Texas is bullshit.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's just really fucking silly that they would even, you know, purport to do such a thing. And they're just mad. They're just mad because they realize, again, that, you know, if Republicans was like, oh, we're going to boycott Coca-Cola, whatever. Like, you're going to – like, for fuck's sake, like, Trump was out there being like, boycott Coca-Cola. And then that very day, like, the picture of Steve Miller tweets has, like, the Diet Coke bottle hiding behind the fucking, like, desk lamp.
Just move it off the desk. These guys are idiots. We're not going to buy that anymore. You're drinking it every day, dude. Like, you couldn't even stop – Your bullshit for 9 seconds to take a picture. Of course not. He's a hypocrite. I mean, we had 4 years of his Hippocratic bullshit. But yeah, of course. Like, I'm not surprised when I saw that. I was like, that's par for the course. Of course.
Yes, yeah, naturally. Naturally. It's all performative.
All of it.
But yeah. But I mean, I'm happy that corporations are speaking out against shit like this, even though it's for the most, you know, malevolent reasons possible. It's not a genuine actual desire to see these things. It's just because they want to be on the right side of history.
That's it.
At the end of the day, and they want to make sure that people that do believe in these things still buy their products. Because unlike conservatives who don't have a fucking spine when it comes to this shit. Liberals, especially young liberals, oh, they'll boycott a fucking soda. Don't you fucking worry about
it. Oh, me? No problem. No problem. I don't drink soda, but but if I did, yeah, no problem. Easy. I mean, Kevin Sorbo's still mad that, you know, liberals are boycotting Chick-fil-A. We don't fuck around, you know. If we say we're done with that, we're done with it. We're done with it. Like, there are some liberals who eat Chick-fil-A, sure. But, like, for the most part, nah, you know, people are done with that shit. Like, a chicken sandwich is not that amazing. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Conservatives can't keep that shit down. They can't. They can't. If you told people, we're going to boycott Walmart. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Well, and the cycle substantiates itself because – let's say Coca-Cola comes out and is like we support what George is trying to do, this, that, or the other thing. Think the NBA is going to be too happy about that? You think the NBA, who is one of their fucking flagship sponsors, is Sprite, is going to be like, hey, this is the stance you should be taking? Don't think so.
Nah, not buying it, dude.
So that, like I said, they're protecting their dollars. I respect it. And Republicans are getting a little nervous.
Good.
Getting a little nervous about it.
I think it's hilarious. Like, I just don't give a shit about them. Like, this whole thing is bullshit. Like, the whole thing is utter bullshit. And again, it's just this notion of, you know, corporations need to know their place. No, you've given them unlimited fucking power for decades.
You did this. You did this to yourselves.
Yeah.
But you have provided the opportunity for corporations to have this platform. You're just mad that they're using it against you now.
Yeah, that's it. And like, that part, I just do not understand.
But again, that's the problem with focusing entirely on the here and now and not thinking about the future. One of the other things I said on Twitter about this is that any right thinking, and I don't mean like right conservative, like correct thinking political party in their right mind, if their constituents, and for all intents and purposes, corporations are the Republican constituency at the end of the day.
Right.
If your constituents by and large are moving on a specific issue, you as a political party typically want to move with them because you want to ensure that you are continuing to grow your base and keep your party relevant.
Right.
And Republicans have just decided, especially for the past 5 years, to just fucking plant their flag directly into the ground and just stand planted while the rest of the fucking country moves away from them.
Which is stupid.
It's the dumbest thing ever because, again, the majority of your voting base, like your core block, is old and are dying. Damn. And are also becoming, by the year, less of a factor just in terms of the population stats. Like, you are the plurality, but it's shrinking. You're not the majority anymore.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
So, in other news, economy's coming back.
Whoop.
So we got that going for us. So the job growth that was projected.
This number is fucking bonkers, dude.
Yeah, by the Dow was about 675,000. That's what they estimated. They came in with 916,000 new jobs added and unemployment down to 6%.
I ask a question again, Brad. Is he doing well?
Did he add 10 trillion jobs, Jay?
That's true. That's true. I was hoping for 10 trillion. 10 trillion jobs. Why not 10 trillion? I did see that one woman from Bernie Sanders' campaign was like, Joe Manchin is asking for $4 trillion for infrastructure, and Biden only wants $2 trillion. And everyone's like, yeah, they nailed Biden from the left. Joe Manchin beat him from the left. I'm like, did y'all read the details of that story?
No? Yeah. Like, I don't think you did.
I don't think you did. Like, Joe Manchin doesn't want to raise corporate taxes or anything like that. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is pushing for a worldwide corporate tax using Janet Yellen to go around the world so that corporations have nowhere to go and they have to pay taxes. That, how is that not considered amazing progressivism? Like, it is. I'm not saying Joe Biden is an amazing progressive, but that is some seriously high-level progressivism. No credit. Zero credit.
Did Bernie Sanders come up with the plan, Jay? He didn't. It's not progressive then.
You got it. I mean, she said that Bernie Sanders did want. I swear to God, I'm not making this number up. I swear to God, we keep making fun of the $10 trillion number. I'm not making this number up. She said that Bernie Sanders wanted $16 trillion for infrastructure.
No, he didn't. No, he did not. I don't believe you.
I'm going to Google it. Bernie Sanders, $16 trillion.
No, she may have said that Bernie Sanders wanted $16 trillion. I don't believe that Bernie Sanders said that he wanted
$16 trillion. No,
That sounds more reasonable, but still an insane number. It's not something he ever said out loud. I can tell you that much.
Bernie Sanders' Green New Deal, a $16 trillion
climate plan. The same thing as
that's what he said. That's what he said. $16 trillion. Look, it doesn't, Brad. It doesn't matter if that's not what he said. The point is, what did Biden say that we can use out of context to attack him, so that we can get our podcast revenue up? Because it's hard to live off of $30,000 a month.
That's fair.
All right, there you go. Thank you. That's all, Brad. I'm just trying to drop logic, dude.
Tune in next episode to the Look Forward Trap House. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. Now, they did point out that jobs, you know, this is the highest growth since last August when jobs, you know, increased by more than a million. Of course, that was after we had lost how many million jobs?
16 trillion jobs.
Yeah, it's a lot. Pretty cool. Like I said, amazing what happens. You put Democrats in charge and all of a sudden the economy starts doing better. It's crazy. It's crazy how that works.
How about that? But yeah, almost a million jobs is awesome. That's dope, man.
And again, it's just like I watched Joe Biden's press conference on that, and someone asked him, like, do you feel good? You know, take some credit for this. And he's like, I'm not taking credit for this. He's like, I'm giving the American people credit for this.
Smart move, man.
Yeah. It's not like it's just weird having someone with humility again.
Like, he refuses to fall into their traps. I love it. Like, one thing I will say about Biden, and I mean, it's still really early in his administration. Boy, have they figured out how to keep him in line as far as gaffes. Like, I did not think they would be able to, dude. But he's, like, pretty straight and narrow. I mean, Sean Hannity makes a really good point. He's only done one public appearance a day. How is he even president?
I know.
Sean Hannity is bored, yo. Sean Hannity is bored.
How doesn't he have a camera just following him around constantly, all day long?
I was like,
what, he's let his press secretary go out and talk to reporters?
What a cuck. By the way, Jen Psaki or whatever her name is?
Yeah.
Dude, just dunking on Republicans every day.
I just wonder, next time fucking Peter Ducey lines and asks a question, I just feel like she's like, oh, you're ready for your daily face kicking.
Yeah, like, no.
You fucking idiot.
Like, no. Lower. Get lower. I don't want to have to lift my leg that high to kick you in the face today. Like, what was his question? Does the president have a problem with the fact that the MLB is moving to Colorado? Has the same election laws as Georgia? And she was like, whoa. Hold on there, chief. And she just broke down like, none of what you said was true. That's not true. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, that was an argument that a conservative someone made on Twitter is like, oh, but like Denver has the same laws. I'm like, no, they really don't. They really don't at all. Like, it's not like people in Georgia in other states, like, literally have to go around for like notaries. Meanwhile, Denver, like, tell me the last time you saw long voter lines in Colorado.
Right.
Non-existent. Why? Because everyone's mailing their shit in. Because it's easy.
Yeah.
Because they just give you the ballot. So, yeah. So moving on from there. In other news, there was another attack at the Capitol building. Fortunately, this was a one-person attack and not like a coordinated crazy right-wing militia effort. A person rammed his vehicle into a barricade that was at the Capitol. It resulted in one Capitol police officer being injured, one being killed. The suspect was killed on scene. He had a knife in his hand. So they took him down. It's just, like I said, it's really unfortunate. Like I said, obviously our knee-jerk reaction was another right-wing, insane person.
Right.
That was doing this. That turned out not necessarily to be the case.
Black dude, actually.
Yeah. And I'm actually really relieved in some sense because, like, once it came out that this dude was, a Farrakhan follower and stuff like that, that isn't what the narrative immediately pivoted to. Like, Republicans right. didn't pull down that, otherwise low-hanging fruit for them.
It's the blacks!
Right.
I knew it! All right, relax.
But to your point, progress. Well, but to your point, all these Republicans who during the January 6th stuff were basically shitting on Capitol Police, tweeting out our thoughts are with this, that, or the other thing. Mm-hmm. The same people that were pushing against efforts for more security and things like that at the Capitol building, and it just goes to show you that this stuff can happen from any angle all the time.
Right. I mean, that's exactly correct. I mean, the idea that Mitch McConnell has been blasting Democrats of like, we don't need any of this security. This is ridiculous. And like literally days before or maybe a month before, what's her name? Megan McCain was on The View saying how ridiculous it is that all the security is there. And like there's a bunch of people just like, taking this story and then like tagging her in it and be like, this you? Like, you sure? Like, it's not so simplistic. We have a situation, and not to bring it back to the previous story too hard, but we now have a situation of a number of people in this country that are radicalized, and it doesn't necessarily have to be all in one direction, but people are just being radicalized towards extremism, and their thought process of, yeah, why don't we just kill politicians seems to be the new thing.
Yeah.
And we live in a new world. We have to prepare in a different way. We can't just live like none of this happened.
Well, that's a lesson like that left-wing extremists can learn from the right-wing extremists, even if they don't agree with what they were protesting about. Well, protesting, is being not the correct use of the term. Yeah. Even if they disagree with the reason for that attack,
right.
It just showed them that it's possible. Essentially. So if you find a group of folks that are
right,
that have their druthers enough about a particular issue that they want to target politicians and target, Congress people, you gave them the blueprint.
Right. Exactly. You're right. And that doesn't mean that you're going to see a left-wing version of the Capitol riot. You won't. Like, I can stand pretty firmly in that and say you won't, because people on the left know if a bunch of brown people decide to go up against the Capitol, it's not going to work the same.
Yeah, you're not having police officers being like, well, we just couldn't control the riot. I don't know.
Just come on in, guys. You want to sit at Nancy Pelosi's desk? It's fine.
Yeah, it was just tough. Like we couldn't control them. So no, like you said, they're getting tear gas. They're getting
gunned down. Dude.
Yeah, they're getting bullets spread out in that crowd.
I mean, especially now, they'd be like, oh, we're not going to let this happen again. So they would be even more extreme.
Yeah.
Right. Like, let alone if this was the first time. So, yeah, I don't see that ever happening. Also, just ideologically, the left is way more fractured than the far right is, right?
Correct.
Like you can – I was doing some late night reading on some more like wackadoodle conspiracy theories. I was reading a Reddit AMA with the guy from The Daily Beast who really follows QAnon, and he's in that documentary. And he was just mentioning some other things. He's like, well, I think a lot of this is also a holdover of this other thing. And I'm like, I've never even heard of that. And then I looked it up. I was like, ooh, that's crazy. Like, this is super crazy. It's stuff like Nacera and Gacera stuff. It's wacky. I read on it. I think you would find it fascinating.
I would find it fascinating. But again, like I said earlier, also terrifying at the same time. So.
Yeah, this one somehow is dumber than QAnon and people.
Oh, okay.
So like
the dumb ones are always fun.
Right. But like it's – the reason why I bring that up is because even those things have been pulled together all under QAnon, right? Like, so the right in a weird way, even its extremism and even in its like regular politics can all get moved under one umbrella by like forces, right? Like very easily they just go, oh, we're all together on this. Like they just can easily ignore their differences and then just kind of come together and be like, why don't we just storm the Capitol, right? Like not everyone that was storming the Capitol was there for the exact same reasons, right? Like, so they're able to be moved in a horde much easier than the left. Like you can't get like extreme animal liberation front people to necessarily side with other extreme leftists, like, because they're just too fractured. Like it's just the nature of how they view themselves. So yeah, I mean, this guy doing what he did, I mean, I'm glad he's dead. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I'm not. Good. You tried to, like, you're trying to kill politicians, dude. And you killed a cop, like, for no fucking reason, mm-hmm. right? This wasn't, oh, this innocent guy, you know, and the cops did something terrible. No. Like, this is what, these are the moments where lethal force is actually necessary.
Yeah, like you were, like, he literally killed one cop and had a weapon in his hand. I mean, it was a knife. It wasn't a gun, but, you know, still.
Like, come on, man. Like, I've seen, and this is how you know, like, black people and people on the left are much more consistent in messaging, mm-hmm. like, or in their thought process versus just defending things because, right? I've seen nobody on the left anywhere go, well, I thought it was a little extreme that they killed it. They're like, no, that makes sense. Like, no,
the extreme thing is the cop that walks up to the white guy with like an AK-47 drawn and with like his hand out, like, you know, oh, just chill out, man. Chill out. Like, this
that's extreme.
That's the extreme thing.
Right. But people on the left don't defend shit like this. They're like, that guy died. That makes sense. It's just like, okay, whatever. That's your fault, dude. Yeah. That's 100% your fault. So yeah, I don't think we should be running to remove security from the Capitol. I don't. Look, we live in a different world. And I know it feels very pie in the sky to say, well, you know, maybe we should just take all those things down and just be tough and deal with it. But, you know, like, there's, like, mental toughness, and then there's, like, we could be attacked toughness. Like, yeah, that's
like,
stupid.
Like, again, like, there's people – I think it was also – I don't know if it was Meghan McCain or somebody else, but, like, people, like, asking to – like, oh, like, why do they still have this fencing, like, up around the Capitol building? I'm just like, because a fucking major attack happened literally 3 months ago. Like, 3 months is not a long time.
It really isn't. And yeah. I feel like people forget, like, it's January of this year.
Yeah, it was 2021. Like everyone was just fooled because we all felt like it was like a 2020 hangover, basically. So everyone would just assume
that's exactly like, you know what, you know, the way, you know, that's exactly right. Like, oh, that was the Trump administration.
2021 started on January 20th.
Right. Like, nah, dude. Like, at that point, you know, obviously it wasn't, you know, like, it hadn't quote unquote been certified, which was the point. But like, that's the Biden administration, right? Yeah. Like, for all intents and purposes, like, that's the Biden administration. You can't just go, ah, it's a Trump time. It's all over. No, this is very much a Biden administration issue that they have to deal with. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think people just like chalk it up to 2020. And so they're just like, we're behind that, baby.
Yeah. The first 3 weeks of this year were just completely like tacked on to last year.
Right. They're just like, nah, fuck it. Don't worry about it. Like, it is weird. And that's kind of a hilarious yet sad sort of situation. But that is literally how people think or don't think about things. That's fine. Once you cross the Rubicon that is January 1st, that's that other guy's problem.
Like, look, time is an illusion anyway, Jay. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, we've been in the house way too long. Way too long. All right. So let's talk about. This might be one of my – well, no, it's not my favorite story. We'll get to him. But I think my favorite – one of my favorite stories is this Trump campaign story, which is the former president – God, I love saying that. Well, I don't like calling him a president at all, actually. But that asshole decided that they were going to send out these, you know – campaign donation letters, right? Which is fine. That's a normal thing. Like, there's nothing unreasonable about that. But when it's Donald Trump and his team, there's always something. So they're like, hey, you know, send us money. We're gonna stop the steal, even though it's over. We're gonna fight them, and you know, we're gonna keep going. And for 2024, which I'm definitely not gonna be alive
for. This was for last March, so this was for the 2020 campaign specifically.
This
occurred in.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
This is like, we have to stop the Democrats and socialist Joe Biden from taking over the country
by winning an election. So they come out with this. People signed up for it, right? They're Republicans, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, nothing wrong with that. But what they did was these motherfuckers put in the EULA, basically. Like, this is a recurring payment. And they were just taking these people's money every month and didn't really tell them, mm-hmm. which is hilarious. Now, I'm of two minds.
So there's an addendum to this. So when they sent this out in March – which again, they had it was basically a pre-checked box that so you had to manually opt out to not make your donation recurring. Which typically,
right,
the opposite is true,
right? Yeah, but when you got a grift, baby, donation.
Right? So this works so well. They sent another email, and the RNC was piggybacked on this one in June. That they in house, according to the reporting for the story, called it the money bomb. Which basically doubled a donor's intended donation. So like they're like, ah, like, are you sure you don't want to double this? They're like, yes, I do. Let's pre-check that box and
that's not okay.
Go right on ahead.
Look, I'm of two minds. Part of like my first part of my mind is good. I'm glad you got grifted. The second part is, oh, they grifted a lot of senior citizens, man.
It was mostly seniors because, of course, like the people that aren't going to be savvy, that don't understand that you got to read, you know, when there's a checkbox, you got to read that shit with some scrutiny, are going to be seniors. Like, they're just scrolling down to the bottom of the page, like, ah, whatever, yeah, Trump, take my money, this, that, and the other thing. So, like, they talk about some a Trump supporter who passed away of cancer a couple months ago, but he was in hospice, and this dude donated like $500 to the campaign, mm-hmm. and then within a month time, that multiplied by six. Like he spent like $3,000 on the Trump campaign, and then there's another guy, a 78-year-old in California, who donated $900 to the campaign. Which, first of all, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, come on, man.
But then ended up paying $8,000.
Jesus Christ.
To the Trump campaign because of the recurring donations. So this led to,
oh my God,
the Trump campaign having to issue over $122 million in refunds to donors in 2020.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they did the refunds.
Well, I mean, they would have been fucking sued probably if they hadn't been.
Again, I'm staying by what I just said. I'm surprised. I'd imagine that they would just be like, it says it, so you ain't, that's your fault. We'll drag it out in court. Like, I feel like they would do that. I am shocked to know that they actually just paid the money back.
Well, that's how you know that he's not running that operation.
Yeah, that's a very good point, right? Yeah. Because clearly some people with some level of ethics were like, all right, it was like a mistake. Like, yeah, I mean, if we can get it, that's cool. But like, nah. I mean, it's not like they probably didn't still recoup a ton of money anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Where people who just didn't notice, right? You know, older folks who do have money, who're just like, whatever. What, you know, what's $3,000? It don't really bother me. Or the people who go, oh well, you know, I guess I gotta pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm the sucker that, you know, that was my mistake, instead of like I was clearly being duped, right?
Well, so, and the funny part is, like, these idiots still probably voted for this dude, regardless.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Regardless of this. And here's the other thing too, like
they did, by the way, did you see the other wrinkle to this story?
Well, I did, but we'll get to that in a second. That's a thing. But
I love it.
Trump also had money coming in even after the election because of his whole, you know, fundraising to, you know, stop the steal and this other right. shit. So I would right. imagine that a lot of those refunds were covered out of that kitty. As well. No, the other wrinkle to the story is fucking hilarious to me. Yeah,
this part is amazing. Go ahead. You go for it.
Yeah. So apparently, I don't have the timeline on when this happened. But the NRCC was sending out emails to donors as well, looking for more money. Like, I guess they're getting ready for the next election. And there's literally like a checkbox in here. And I'm gonna paraphrase, but it basically says,
"Oh, I can read it.
Oh, please do. It's yeah, fantastic. I can read it.
It's right here." quote is an automatic checkbox. So you got to uncheck it. You know, we need to know we haven't lost you to the radical left. If you uncheck this box, uncheck is in capital letters. If you uncheck this box, we will have to tell Trump that you are a defector in all capital letters and sided with the Dems. Check this box and we can win back the House and get Trump to run in 2024. Yeah, dude. They have another one. We need your help to draft Trump for president. Check this box if you want Trump to run again. Uncheck this box if you do not stand with Trump.
Like I said, scaring the shit out of old people is a Republican tactic as old as time.
I mean, yeah, dude, it really is. Like, we're really out here calling people defectors, and they're going to create a defector.
I want to believe Trump actually does get a weekly list of defectors. Like, look.
I would almost sign up to give $5 to then unsign up to get on that list.
On his enemy's list.
Just to get on that enemy's list. Hell yeah, yeah. I'd be like, come talk to me. Call me, please. Holy shit, it'd be worth it. That's amazing. A defector's
list? Mr. Trump, sir, Ida Smith of Boise, Idaho, is a defector against your campaign. She's been corrupted by the radical left, most likely by Antifa.
Yo, that is – they are so insane. How does anyone support these guys? How does anyone read that and go, yeah, no, that seems reasonable, that they're going to report to the former president that I'm a defector? Because I'm not willing to eat tuna fish all day. Instead, give my hard earned retirement money to this prick who's
in all seriousness. This is the end result of, you know, 20 plus odd years of Fox News poisoning the brains of L people to make people think. Like, I called it back around like election time, a political jihad by Fox News and the Republicans, but that's essentially what it is. Like, these people do believe that they're locked in some moral imperative conflict and the soul of the nation hangs in the balance. And if we don't fight these socialist Democrats who are radicalizing everything, like the country will crumble and erode. I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Like, look out your door. What are you talking about? The radical leftists are at the gates. Like, They're not.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to do? You've been digging in holes to get coal and dying generationally. Maybe you just build solar panels. The radical left.
We just want to give you health care and pay people a higher minimum wage. Like, it's not
the radical left. Like, it would be one thing.
We don't want the country to fall under tsunamis in 20 years. Like, that's all.
Like, I wish there was a way, and it's how I know time travel doesn't exist. I wish there was a way that you could just grab Republicans from this era and be like, or not even time machines. Like, that would be helpful, I guess. But like a scenario machine, like, you know, like Scrooged, right? Like, you just take Republicans and you're just like, okay, here's the Republican future. Here we go. Like, tsunamis destroying the world, rich people living in their towers while poor people are suffering. Here's you.
You don't even have to go that far. Like, you could just go back 30 years and like do it, but be like, guys, this is what happens if you elect Newt Gingrich Speaker of the House. Like, it sets a chain of events.
It sets a chain of events forward that culminates
in this.
Right. Like, here's what would have happened if Al Gore would have won. Like,
right.
Oh my God. Like
Donald Trump becomes president. Oh my God. He becomes president. Oh my God. That Democrat. Holy shit. Like,
yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Don't tell him. Like, Democrat. That's not the guy you want. But yeah, like, I almost wish there was a magical machine that could just show people scenarios, because it would help people to understand, like, your choices now really matter, right? Like, you're right. Like, Republicans, you know, rank and file Republicans have been convinced that there is like this moral imperative and all this other stuff. And look, while that seems ridiculous on its face, I mean, I guess it's not absolutely nuts, right? Because we talk about on the left, we talk about, like, if Republicans win, you know, abortion will be made illegal and, you know, women's rights. Like, so those are moral imperatives to us as well, right? Except, like, ours are reality. Like, Theirs are, we're going to enslave people who don't agree with us and kill their children. Like, yo, we're just trying to get people regular jobs. Like, it's like, yeah. That's the problem is, it's not that it's a moral imperative. It's just that the results in which they argue are not real. Like, they're just not fundamentally real. And that's the problem is you have on one side just believing fantasies. They're just fantasies. Oh, they're gonna make everybody live in cities, and that's how they'll inject us with vaccines we don't want. Like, no, dude. Like, there's a plague over the planet. Just try to make sure people stay alive. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. Like, that's the argument. Like, it's really weird. But yeah, people live in people live. I mean, I think the further you live on the edges of society, and I don't mean this as a slam on like rural like people. Like, you know, one of our hosts lives in rural America. I mean, I'm slamming him personally, but that's not about anybody
also,
else.
Also, he used to live in Fresno, so like he at least has experienced city.
City, quote.
Yeah.
a large town. No, but like, and this is not shitting on rural America. It really isn't. But I think the further you live outside of major cities, the more you have these very weird views of what it is to live there, right? Like, mm-hmm. you just don't have experience. And by the way, that goes
that
double for
the other way as well.
Other way, right? Oh, yeah, where we're sure. just like, there's a bunch of podunk idiots out there. Like, no, it's like they happen to live in these parts of the country. So I just think that there should be a little bit more cross-examination of like how we think about the other groups. Like, I think that's real. But there definitely is, I would say, and look, you could call me biased. I'm definitely am biased. But I think there is a 100% bizarro view of how people live in cities. Like, it's really weird from – like, you just hear people from, you know, like conservatives specifically from rural America are like, in the, you know, in the cities, they're just stabbing each other constantly. I'm like, that's not true. Like, you know, I just watched this clip from Fox News, and they're just like, yo, the murder rate is insane in New York City and in Chicago. I'm like, people live there, dude. There's a lot of people who live there. People tend to kill people when they're close. Yeah, there's not as many people killing each other in like small town America because there's 9 people that live there, dude. Like, right. it's just percentages. Like, it's not, if you look at percentages, it's not crazy different. Like, it just isn't. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, there should be a lot more understanding, but like, stop grifting people, man. Like, and stop falling for the okie doke. Like, and I feel like it's so much easier to do it to people who don't, like, the people falling for Trump's grifts don't live in cities because they're like, they don't see grifters like him. We see grifters like him all the time.
Yeah, like he's not new.
No.
Very, very unoriginal, in fact. So.
Yeah, that's why New Yorkers didn't fall for it, dude. Like, people were in New York were like, Donald Trump is running for president? Get the fuck out of here. People in rural America like, he seems like a smart city genius. Like, no, he's not.
And again, that's the, like we've talked about it many times before. That's the irony of Trump is that he, in many ways, is what rural Americans claim to hate. Like he's what
exactly.
they claim to be vehemently against. Like yeah. he's a silver spoon asshole who hasn't earned a dollar in his life. Who, you know, preys on poor people at the end of the day. And that's, you know, they're falling right into line. Like they're becoming the victims themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And he has utter contempt for them. Mm-hmm. That's a great thing. Like, yeah, you know, from a logical perspective, sure, he stands on the stage and talks to people, but there's sort of an unironic aspect to that. He's staying away from you. Like, he don't want to be mm-hmm. near you. Have you ever seen Trump? Like, really? Like, think about politicians that you've seen doing rallies and stuff like that, or like talking in the crowds and stuff like that. And I'm talking about before COVID. I'm not counting during COVID. Bush, Obama, Clinton, they went into the crowds and talked to people and like did that. He doesn't do that because his supporters are not people he fucks with. He's not.
I mean, his like,
you know,
he literally had his plane parked in the back of the fucking, you know, in the background and half the events that he did.
So
because it's literally like,
fuck out.
Yeah, like I'm going to give this speech. I'm going to get back on my fucking plane and get the fuck out of Podunk, USA.
Right.
And go back to where people are civilized.
Yeah. I mean, he called Lindsey Graham or no, not Lindsey Graham. Jeff Sessions. He called his accent and made him sound like he's a retard. right? This is what he thinks of, like, of people, the South. That's what he thinks of you. Like, I just don't understand. Like, nah, he's our guy. He doesn't give, yo, if they could get a recording of this guy, a secret recording of this guy being asked what he thought of his actual supporters, those people would be shocked to know. Oh, yeah, that's the deep state Antifa making that up. Like, nah, yo, that's what he thinks.
But they wouldn't believe it.
No,
they
that's what I'm saying.
They wouldn't believe it's real. Yeah.
No, absolutely not. So, yeah, him labeling them as grifters, or excuse me, as defectors is hilarious. That's hilarious to me. All right, let's talk about our favorite wine-soaked former Republican.
I can't help it, Jay. I'm quite fond of John Boehner. Like ever since I read American Carnage, it's hard not to like John Boehner, because John Boehner, like, shitty as he was during, you know, the first 6 years of Obama, and thorn of a side as in Obama's side as he was. He was just doing it to try to keep his fucking caucus together at any cost. Like in reality, like, he fucking hated the Freedom Caucus.
He did. And the thing is, where you can give him credit is, like, I feel sorry for a guy put into a circumstance he can't win, right? Like, as a generality. Yeah. Right? You're like, this guy is stuck between a rock and a hard place. Like, he really cannot he can't move, right? Like, he's fucked. So I can feel sorry for him as a human being. But not specifically as John Boehner. You know what I mean? Like, because, yeah, he didn't do what he should have done, which is, okay, my caucus is full of psychos, and I need to start swinging this fucking gavel and start hitting motherfuckers. Like, he didn't do that. Instead, he cowered to them and just was like, oh, I guess. But then you see the real John Boehner when he's got a couple glasses of wine in him, and he's no longer a speaker, and he's just like, these motherfuckers are the worst. Like, so, and I kind of, like, you begrudgingly like the guy. You're like, I probably, because, I mean, that's why when he retired, Obama did that video with him. Like, he don't hate that guy. Yeah. Like, they don't hate each other. I'm sure they had many a conversation like, dude, what the fuck you want me to do? These guys are fucking lunatics. I'm fucked. Like, I can't do anything. And I'm sure Obama knew that, right? People don't understand, like, that's what politics really is.
Right, that's the game.
That's the game, right? And I hate to use the word game, right? Because, like, people's lives are at stake, obviously, right? And it's super serious. But it is gamemanship in a lot of ways. Like, it just is. We're kind of losing some of that because more extreme voices are coming in, and they don't understand how the game works. So they're just like, Obama's trying to – he's a Satan worshiping pedophile, right? Like, so they've lost all perspective, that it's like, I just don't agree with you. They've lost that perspective. And you know, to a lesser extent, a far lesser extent, there are people on the left that – have lost that perspective too, where it's like, you can actually work with people and move people, and they're like, no, we cannot work with them at all, right? Like, that's actually not true. It's just that the more extreme voices that appear in Congress on both sides, and it's definitely 99% on the right, the more they show up, the less you have maneuverability, right? The game works when you've got, like, 60% hardliners and then 40% people who can shift and move. It's 99% hardliners at this point. There's no level of moving. And Boehner came in as that started to shift to 99% hardliners, right? And he grew up in a time in Congress where it was 60-40, like 40% able to shift, which is why they could get shit done. So yeah, he's an interesting guy in this whole thing.
Well, he wrote a book, Jay, talking about
kind of want to read it. Kind of want to read it.
Kind of do too.
No, let me rephrase that. I want to listen to it. I want the audio book.
So that's the thing. So he also did the audio narration for the book as well. And he went off script a little bit because, as I said, he probably had a couple glasses of wine during some of those recording sessions. And just he was having some fun. He was having a good time. He talked about, you know, watching the Republican Party devolve in real time. And regretted that he didn't do more to stop it from happening, honestly.
I bet he did.
You know, he talked about the apparently, like, we were able to get the insurrection in before we hit the publisher. Talking about Trump shoveling bullshit and the insurrection being a direct end result of that. He hates Jim Jordan, which is not surprising. They're from the same state. And he said, quote, some of the people involved in the in the insurrection, did not surprise me in the least. He's like, the legislative terrorism that I witnessed as speaker had now encouraged actual terrorism.
Wow. I mean, listen to that language, yo. It couldn't be more plain.
What else did he do? Oh, yeah. He also ripped into right-wing media. He talked about he ripped into Ted Cruz and Sean Hannity and Michelle Bachmann. And then the best part, he called
them the GOP's crazy caucus.
Yeah. The best part is he's wrapping up a chapter in the book. So he wraps it up and then goes off script. This is not in the book. At the end of this chapter, he's like, oh, and Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
I love it. Yeah, that's a direct quote. That's amazing. I wish I could make this happen. I wish I could figure out a way to just do a second hour with us and John Boehner while he's drinking. I want to get that's what I want. I want, like, there's an idea for a show. Politicians off script drinking. Like, that's what I want. Like, former politicians, not somebody who's in it. Former politicians just ply them with a couple of beers.
I hope Comedy Central is not a premium subscriber, because we could do drunk politics, like drunk history, and have politicians telling stories, and you could have actors, comedy actors.
How awesome would that be? Holy shit. We're not big enough to get that pull. But how awesome would it be? John Boehner would be first guest. First guest. First guest. Maybe first, second, and third guest. Like, come on, man. Like,
If only Ted Kennedy was still alive, we could do an entire, like, miniseries.
And then I left that bitch to die. Wait, what? Nothing. Sorry. No, never mind. Go watch the movie.
One of my favorite parts is that Trump commented on this, like, when this story came out, and he said, was Boehner drinking when he made that statement? I'm like, probably.
Yeah, dude. Like,
absolutely.
Wait. Are you trying to shit on John Boehner for alcoholism? I don't think it's going to work, dude. Like, that's kind of his thing. Like, that guy, like, do people remember? He used to cry all the time. Like, he used to just, which, you know, like, heavy emotional responses are like a very, very high sign of somebody who is an alcoholic. He wasn't an angry drunk. He was just like, I just get sad and, like, emotionally, like, overwrought. I mean, I like the idea of that. Damn it. Like, I really wish we had the pull. I really wish we had the pull to do something like that. But it's
here's another great quote from the book. You're going to love this. Like this speaks to your like, talking about, like, how it is with Obama. So Boehner says, quote, I'm smoking – he's talking about a meeting with Obama in 2011. He says, quote, I'm smoking a cigarette and they bring me a glass of Merlot and we're sitting there a little while and here's the president drinking iced tea and chomping on Nicorette. What else do you need to know about the two of us?
I mean, there you go. Like that idea of, like, wow, he didn't even smoke a cigarette with John Boehner. He's like, nah, I don't trust that dude.
Well, to follow up on that quote, on whether he saw Obama sneaking a cigarette. Oh no. He's scared to death of his wife. Scared to death.
You know what? I get it.
He's not wrong.
No, fuck that. Yeah, I'm sure I'll fuck you up. Get out of here. But that's why people don't understand why Obama could have a friendly sort of exit relationship with Boehner. Because that's how, like, we have come to a point that there is no space to move. And, like, ironically, people lament that and also are, like, pro it, right? You know, like, we need more hardline people on the left that are unwilling to move. Okay, but understand that with that comes zero ability to get people on the right to move on anything, right? Like, it's cool that you want that. You just have to understand that we have to now elect maximum amount of people on the left to get anything done.
Yeah.
And the right has the same issue, right? They can't get shit done either because they're like, only hardliners. Cool. Well, that means you have to sweep every election, right? You have to get 60 votes in the Senate. You have to have control of the House to get and the presidency to get anything done, right? This idea of, like, we don't need this gamemanship. Actually, in order to not make election politics actually do or die every time, you kind of do need the gamemanship so that you can actually move people.
Right. Otherwise you have gridlock. That's all that you have.
Like,
and nothing happens.
Right. It's like,
ironically,
which by the way, when nothing happens, Republicans are fine. Like
yeah, that's cool their that point. They're like, great. Yeah. It's the system is already fucked. So, like, I get it. I get hating Joe Manchin. And because Joe Manchin isn't really a guy who can, like, super move. Like, he's more of just, like, a Republican, basically, right? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that anyone who labels himself as a centrist is the same as Joe Manchin. Like, mm-hmm. they're not.
They're just more apt to move. That's the difference.
Right. And that's what you want, right? You want people who are – like, Democrats should want people who are ideologically aligned with them, obviously, right? You're not trying to, like, let's get in more Joe Manchins. That's stupid, right? Because I'm sure someone would hear this and that would be, like, their bizarre retelling of what I just said. That's not my point. My point is people who are more amenable to changing with new information, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you want. Of course you want people who are more – on the left, of course. But I don't think that 100% AOCs are the thing that you want. And again, that's not saying that AOC is not, you know, a good person to have. You need hardliners, right? Mm-hmm. You need hardliners who are like, you need a Bernie Sanders, you need an AOC, because that's the 60% of your base that you need to be like, this is the direction our party is going. Fuck all that noise. This is where we're going, right? You can't have all people who are like, I'm in the middle, bro. Like, you can't have that because then you don't have direction. Mm-hmm. You need 60% hardliners. But you also need people to go, well, okay. And, like, real people who are amenable, right? You don't need, like, people who are like, okay, Joe Biden says we need a $2 trillion infrastructure bill. And they're like, we need $1 trillion. Well, why? Because less. Like, that's Joe Manchin, right? Like, that's not amenable to new information. You need someone to go, okay, that $2 trillion infrastructure bill, I hear you. I'm on your side. But, like, do these points make sense, or can we change it so this it works better? Or maybe I can't come as far, but I can get you, like, 95% of the way there. Or, you know, like, real compromise.
Or that just right? does the normal fucking politics thing, federal politics thing. It just gets something for your state in the mix.
Right. Like, you know, there's nothing, I mean, like, wrong with that. That's what they, that's why they're from the states.
Yeah. Or so, well, it's supposed to be why they're from right. the states. You're not supposed to have this, you know, party tribalism. It's supposed to be, hey, what's good for Virginia? Like, how does this help Virginia? How does this legislation help the state that I'm from?
Right.
That's like, how it's supposed to work.
Right. Like, hey, we're doing this infrastructure bill and I don't see enough money for bridges for West Virginia. Come on, man. I need another $1 million. And be like, you know what, Joe Manchin, to get your vote, we'll give you another million. That's right. how it works. Or, you know, Louis Gohmert, if he's like, well, I need, you know, his tooth falls out and he's like, well, I need $2 million for this, you know, hobbity-doo bridge in my fucking state of Texas. And they're like, all right, Louis Gohmert, we got your vote. And he's like, all right, you got my vote. Here's, you know, give me $2 million. And we give him $2 million. We get the vote. That's when you have people who are actually amenable to change. Mm-hmm. Hardliners, that 60% hardliner to 40%, and maybe you don't even need 40%. Maybe it's like 80-20. But right now, it's 99-1. Like, that doesn't work.
You need enough to pass the legislation through.
Right. You need some people who can be moved. And, like, again, all hardliners on the left or all hardliners on the right doesn't work.
That's what's insane to me about, like, Sinema and Manchin's consistent, you know, reluctance to do anything about the filibuster. And let's be real with it. Like, the thing that no one says that is probably true is that the reason that those two are more reluctant to ease up on that is not because they have any particular affection towards the filibuster.
Right.
It's because that they are worried about how progressive the legislation is. And they probably want someone to help pull it back a little bit. The problem is right. that when you say, oh, we're not going to nuke the filibuster, then it invites the question, well, okay, you find 10 Republicans that are amenable to change in the Senate, because I can name three and that's about it.
That's it. And even those three are like, they're suspect at best.
Yeah.
At best.
You yeah. know? So like it's, you know, like you, it's one thing to say off filibuster, but it's another thing to be like, hey, you can work with these 10 people on the other side of the aisle.
Right.
And you're not saying that. You're just saying, oh, we have to protect this filibuster and we just need to be – we need to work together. I'm like, well, you have one party that has no desire to work with anybody right. that are just going to sit there and take a hardline stance. And this isn't new. Like, this isn't a new thing. This is – it's been this way. Like, you don't live on some alternate reality that we do. And I guess it's kind of weird for them because they're in the Senate, like they're talking to these people every day. And I'm sure that, you know, when you talk to Lindsey Graham on the floor of the Senate, he's not a fucking lunatic. Like I get that. And so they have, you know, they find it difficult to separate the person from the politics.
Right.
In a lot of ways, but you have to, because that's what they're projecting.
Like,
what's guiding their decisions.
Right. Like, dude, watch Lindsey Graham on Fox News. Like, you can watch him on Fox News just like we can. That guy's an asshole. Right. Like, yeah, whatever he's telling you behind the scenes, and he's like, oh, Lindsey paid for my fruit cup at the cafeteria. He was cool. And then he goes on Fox News and is like, Democrats are all the fucking worst and we should kill them all. You're like, whoa. You don't have to pretend like you didn't hear him say that. Just be like, all right, well, fuck that guy. You know? Yeah. So, yeah, like, again, it really matters. It matters what they say behind closed doors. It matters what they say in public. And if that shit don't match, like, what they say in public actually matters sometimes more, right? Because that they are trying to play a game with you, and they're trying to, you know, fuck you over. Like you said, I'm sure Joe Manchin talks to those conservatives, and he's like, they are so reasonable. They're so reasonable. I'm like, are you just not listening to anything they say publicly? I guess he just leaves the office and just gets on his little tugboat and just rides it back to West Virginia at the end of the week, because that's how he lives. And like, he doesn't listen to any news. He doesn't see any things that they're saying. He doesn't read any reporting, anything. And I'm like, you can't be that blind to this shit. Like, you can't be. Or if you are, wake up. You know, they're trying to fuck you over, dude. Like, or not even you, the country. So, yeah. So, yeah, I'm sticking by my 60-40. I'm even going 80-20 theory on, like, hardliners.
80-20 is fine. 80-20 gets you 10 Republican senators.
Right.
Which at the end of the day is what you would need.
Or, by the way, 10 Democratic senators going the other way. Right?
Correct.
Because if people were actually amenable, right, and we were actually had two parties, we don't, but if we had two parties that were trying to do the right thing by this country and not just playing adversarial politics, which is Democrats have this idea, we have the opposite idea. Like, what is it? Whatever the opposite of what they just said.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't fucking matter what they said, right? Like the infrastructure bill. Here's the infrastructure bill. We're not signing shit. We don't care what you put in it. That's adversarial politics, right? Like, they don't give a fuck. If we didn't have that and we had two actual parties trying to do the right thing, and it was just a difference of like philosophy of like, okay, then you could get things done where people go, oh, all right. I mean, fuck Republicans, but like, that's not a bad idea. Right. Like,
you don't have to go that far back in time.
It's not like 1801. Right.
Yeah. We were rolling that way until about, oh, I don't know. 2008 seems like when we got off of that train, essentially.
Well, I'd go even further back than that. I would say even once Newt Gingrich, you know, take your scenario machine. Once Newt Gingrich came in, there was just this idea of like, we've been out of power for so fucking long, what, 40 years or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just go crazy. Like, they went in and went crazy. Like, and again, Americans, like, they were like, ah, Democrats been in power too long. It's like, but is shit working? Like, yeah, it's working. Yeah. But well, let's just change it up. And then that was a fucking mistake. It was a huge mistake because this country ran the best under Democrats for 40 years. But whatever. Like, history be damned. History be damned, dude. Like, you can just, you know, like, this is not secret information. It's actual information you can read. This is crazy to me. But, you know, I don't know. Just storm the Capitol, I guess.
Speaking of things you can read.
Like Venmo receipts on public? Oops. Oh boy!
I didn't think we were going to talk about Matt Gaetz, and then some inside baseball behind the scenes recording. Like, me and Jay actually had to record two halves of this podcast across separate days.
Yes,
for life reasons. So some shit happened with Matt Gaetz in between recording day one and recording day two that forced us to get Matt Gaetz back on the docket.
Yes, yeah, come on, man. I could talk about Matt Gaetz every day until he dies in prison.
Well, currently he's headed in that direction.
Jesus, this guy is in a world of trouble. So apparently, young Matthew Gaetz, you know, like we talked about that this guy was in a world of trouble for potentially sleeping with a 17-year-old girl who turned out may have been a prostitute. But then we find out he may have been plying her with drugs, which is always a good look. And now we find out that him and this other accused sex trafficker, Joel Greenberg, who is a Florida like local politician. Matt Gaetz sent Venmo transactions publicly to Joel Greenberg for $900, which Joel Greenberg then sent to this woman after
across three women. So basically, yes, the way it worked is that Gaetz sent two transactions to Greenberg, and they totaled up to $900 exactly. And the second of the two, he wrote on like the reason for the transaction, hit up this girl's name. And then on that same day,
Joe, what are you doing?
Greenberg sends three Venmo payments to three women, one of them whose name matched the name that Gaetz mentioned that totaled up to $900. Now Greenberg wrote in the description line for him, it's like tuition, school payment, which at least he tried. At least he had that. One of the women involved, turns out she's like a porn actress now, which is amazing.
Look, the Daily Beast is not showing this person's name because she just turned 18 months ago.
Because she was underage at the time. So.
Yikes. now they're talking about federal sex trafficking because like took this girl over state lines. But there's talk that it could be international sex trafficking because he took her out of the country at one point. Look, man, I have never paid for prostitution. I'm not a loser. I got enough charm, charisma, make it happen on my own without giving people money. But I gotta say, if I were into prostitution, I'm not putting it on public in Venmo.
Public Venmo.
Also, well, by the way, why do those apps have a public, hey, got a pizza last night? Why is that important to anyone?
I have no idea. Like, all that shit should probably be encrypted anyway. Right. Different topic for a different time.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
My other favorite part of the story. So Greenberg was indicted on 33 federal charges, including, like, sex trafficking and things of that nature. The word on the street is that he's going to be cooperating with federal government and probably arrange a plea agreement of some kind.
Oops.
So after the indictment, his attorney was on the courthouse steps and he was doing a press conference, and a reporter asked him if do you think Matt Gaetz is worried right now? And here's how I know that Matt Gaetz should be worried, because when your answer to that question is not immediately no, but it's and then like you bloviate for like 45 seconds as you like he's like, oh, should Matt Gaetz you're asking me to get into the head of Matt Gaetz? And they're like, no, just in your opinion, in your mind, should Matt Gaetz be worried?
That guy's fucked.
Like I've never seen someone very slowly monitor like, holy shit, what am I supposed to say, like, in real time? And then eventually he said, quote, I'm sure Matt Gaetz is not feeling very comfortable today.
You going to big boy jail, dog. You going to big boy jail.
Oh my god.
So
fantastic.
Okay. We had one, I don't remember the Republican's name in the House, who has called for Matt Gaetz to resign. That's not good.
Oh, we did get a Republican?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Republican was like, nah, B, you got to go. get the fuck out of here.
So Matt Gaetz is still currently being investigated by the FBI. Matt Gaetz still sits on the House Judiciary Committee, who has oversight of the FBI.
Right.
That seems like a fucking problem to me. Like, how is that a thing?
Yeah.
How does he still have any committee assignments? Number one.
Because Kevin McCarthy is a fucking asshole.
Yeah, McCarthy said if he gets indicted, then he will be stripped of
No. Yeah, because he changed that, right?
Yeah.
He was like, if he's convicted, then we'll strip him of stuff. It's like, if he's convicted, why are you stripping him then, dude? He's going to jail. He's going to jail if he's convicted. Yeah, the next day they were like, convicted? You sure? And he was like, indicted. All right. I saw the blowback of my ridiculous statement. I'm going with indicted. Adam, Kinzinger, tweeted the congressman.
That makes sense.
Yeah. He was like, nah.
That barely counts. That'd be like Justin Amash coming out and being like this dude needs to go
Republican.
To jail. Like we know. We know.
So yeah,
Kitzinger's Republican, but he's someone that's never been afraid to speak his
mind. He's one of the few.
Yeah.
He's one of the few. So yeah, he was like, nah, he needs to resign. So that's one. If you get like a real, real Republican, you know, like I don't wanna be labeled as a defector on Trump's list Republican, then it's over. Like if you get one of them, it's over. Like
you'd say that, and yet it's not like the whole Stop the Steal campaign bullshit was over once Liz Cheney signed on to it.
No,
and you can't get much more real Republican.
I mean, according to Trump, is Liz Cheney really a Republican? Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, they really question Liz Cheney whether or not she was conservative enough.
Her Republican bona fides.
Like that was Liz Cheney. She was not birthed by a woman. She was birthed out of the armor of Darth Vader.
She was birthed out of the anus of an elephant. Like that's how Republican right. Liz Cheney is.
Holy shit, there she is. Yeah. We'll assign her to Dick Cheney. It's fine. I don't know. I guess my thought is if you get like a real and not a Liz Cheney, like a person who's like is a Trump guy, right?
That makes way more sense.
Yeah, that. not just a Liz Cheney Republican, you know, like a real conservative. Like I mean like a
Matt Gaetz type. You would
yes, if Matt Gaetz came out against Matt Gaetz, then you know it's done because once that clears the hurdle and that person isn't just savagely destroyed by his own party, his or her own party, then the ball can get rolling where other Republicans are like, oh, gone. Look, Marjorie Taylor Greene deleted every reference to Matt Gaetz off of her social media. That's not good. Because she's about as Looney Tunes as
Marjorie Taylor Greene is right. New phone who dissing you. Like that's not where
you're in a world of trouble, right? So like, but again, it makes sense, right? Like Marjorie Taylor Greene is a fucking lunatic, but Marjorie Taylor Greene also believes that there are politicians who fuck kids in a cabal. You can't look at this guy and be like, well, I guess he's cool. Like you gotta say something. And she's a coward against her own party, as tough talking, you know, gun shooting Republican as she is. Why not come out and be like, hashtag save the children, get the fuck out of here? But they can't because they're so weird that they believe a conspiracy theory that is 100% partisan, 100% partisan, but they can't see it in their own party.
Meanwhile, reality's striking them in the face with the same conspiracy. And there's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems like all the liberal deep state plants in the Justice Department, all those raging liberals in the DOJ have the fix in for Matt Gaetz.
Yeah, maybe Bill Barr is a deep state Democrat. What? Huh? So yeah, it's a little weird. But I think if you get the ball rolling on a Matt Gaetz type Republican against Matt Gaetz, I think you could end it. I mean, Trump basically was like, good luck. Like
he originally like persona non grata him, but then like when he talked about it on Fox News, he was like, well, I just want to say he did, for the record, vehemently deny the accusation.
Oh, because like, that always means something.
Yeah, because you know in Trump world, like if you deny it, it can't possibly be true.
Right. He's like, I lie about shit all the time. Like clearly I'm innocent. Yeah. yeah. Vehemently denying anything is fucking bullshit. I did hate it that former Democratic Congresswoman Katie Hill came out and was like, yeah, he should resign. And I'm like, I get why you're involved in this and you have something to say about it, but I hate that you have to say anything. I'm not mad at her, but I hate that she has to say anything as if she did something. Like, it's a weird, like, implication, like, that she did something wrong, which is why she left Congress.
With her, it's interesting because
she had something done to her.
Well, I distinctly remember this, too. Like, she when she was going through her trials and tribulations,
horrible.
One of the very few Republicans that came to her defense publicly was
Matt Gaetz.
Like,
right.
like they struck up a very unlikely friendship in Congress. And she went on Hayes and was like, basically like, yeah, I feel betrayed by him. Like if this stuff is true and, you know, this is, you know, he definitely shouldn't be there. And like you said, it's bullshit. Like, you know, it's, I mean, say what you will about Al Franken, like, you know, Al Franken, I think, did the right thing at the time. In retrospect, it looks ridiculous compared to some of the things that Republicans have just kind of.
And stop blaming women for calling him out for it. I hate that.
Right.
Oh, it's Gillibrand's fault. No, she didn't grab that chick's boob. What the fuck are you talking about? Come on.
But Katie Hill absolutely positively should not have had to resign. And it's tragic that she
did. I don't know why she did.
I mean, I definitely understand why she did. Like, that's a lot of public pressure to have to
while
you're in office with the specifics of her situation.
I get your point that like from a perspective of she doesn't want her personal business being used against her, but like it's so fucked up. It's so like, yo, she was the victim of this shit and she's got to leave. Like that, you want to talk about what sexism is in this country and even, you know, on Front Street in politics, that a woman who is the victim of revenge porn, she gets her career ruined.
Right.
Why isn't that guy in fucking prison? Like, what the fuck, man? Like, come on. So I hate that her name is even associated with this because it makes it feel like if you were sort of just tangentially hearing her name, you would assume that she was also accused of doing what Gates was doing. So it's like, oh, well, that's why she's, you know, she's saying this, you know, trying to throw him under the bus too. And it's like, no, yo, she was a victim of shit like this. So it's fucked up. But there's also another part to this. There's another wrinkle to the story, which is Gates sought a blanket pardon from Trump before leaving office.
Well, here's the thing though. So like
he was like, fuck, I put it on Venmo in public. Hey Trump, can I get a pardon? About what? Everything. Don't worry about it.
Right. Well, here's the thing though, is that, you know, So the DOJ is investigating him. The FBI is investigating him. It's not like they have to limit the scope of their investigation just to things around this particular instance. Like, who knows what fun things they might find in Matt Gaetz' sordid political closet.
Well, they're now looking at whether or not he used campaign funds. Oops.
Of course.
Oops. So, look, there's nothing that would make me a happier man than if this fucking blew the doors open on a bunch of Republicans, fucking prostitutes. And like, just that shit just snowballs. It, like, look, they don't have to be underage. Like, just, there's just a bunch of these dudes just like banging prostitutes all over the country and they're like sharing these chicks. Nothing would amuse me more than watching those QAnon nutbags go, oh, shit. Like, it turns out it was our side all along. Like, of course. Of course. Like, these guys are like fundamentally their respect for women is low. Fundamentally, these guys are hypocrites when it comes to sexual like proclivities. Like that's just that's why they scream so loudly about purity balls and all such shit. Yeah, because they're just like, yo, we're just banging prostitutes like crazy. But like, look over there, don't look at us. I would guess that this does not end with Gates and Greenberg. They're not the only two shitty assholes in Florida doing this. No way. Politician wise, no way.
Yeah. Some of the facts that have come out about this are wild. So Greenberg was in the he was the tax assessor, I think, for Seminole County in Florida. And so like one of the things that was going on is that he was apparently getting like fake IDs essentially for a lot of these girls. And he was doing it by going like the expired IDs that were at like the fucking DMV basically. And he apparently brought Gates there one night and on the weekend. And when he left, he forgot to reset the alarm. And apparently, like, they had left, like, IDs, like, all expired IDs all over the fucking, like, desk and just around the office and shit like that. And, like, when his assistant came in Monday morning, she's like, were you here over the weekend? Like, you know, the alarm wasn't on. And he's like, oh, yeah, I was just showing Congressman Gates our operation. I'm just like, bro,
these guys are bad criminals, man. Like they're not smart criminals. They're not like, these are fucking Batman, you know, like masterminds. Like these guys are idiots. Yeah, but like not even just a Republican thing. I think it's a Florida thing.
Yeah.
Like, dude, do you remember Andrew Gilliam? Like this dude was like, partying, like doing meth, sleeping with prostitutes. Like, I don't care that the guy's bisexual. Like, whatever. I don't give a shit. This dude's like doing meth. Like, what is going on in that state? Just cut it off and let's just be done with it. Like, can we replace it with Puerto Rico? Can we, like, we don't need 51 states. We need to just get rid of one and replace
Florida
it with another.
Replace Puerto Rico. Only if we can move the land masses. Like, send Florida out into the fucking into the fucking ocean and bring Puerto Rico into the coast.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Like, we'll just get Joe Manchin's tugboat to drag Puerto Rico and connect it into the mainland, right? Like, I just don't understand, like, what is going on. Like, you know, the party life is too extreme down there. Like, these people are just like, yo, it is awesome in Florida. But yeah, no, Gates is going to jail. Like, that's people are like, oh, no, he won't. There's nobody to fight for him. There's no one to cover him. Who?
Yeah, as soon as facts come out and as soon as actual charges get pressed against him, so, Republicans are going to, like the few Republicans that are probably still on the boat for him and still hanging on are going to bail faster than you can blink.
His staff is bailing.
Yeah.
He's
because that becomes a sinking ship at some point.
Like, and again, he's from Florida. You can get another Republican who believes the crazy shit Matt Gaetz believes.
Well, he's from Panhandle Florida specifically. like easily you can find Republicans, no problem.
Right.
Like, that's all the fuck it is down there.
Right. It's not like he's a hardcore red guy in New York City. Like, oh God, we're not going to be like, somehow he won in AOC's district on a lark. And it's like, we're never going to find somebody. So then they hold on harder to him. In a panhandle? Get out. Step aside, Butch. We got a million of you. We got a million of you. So, no, I don't even understand why even hold him? Gone. You're done. Who cares? So, no, I would say the second he gets indicted and they're like, yo, this could happen any day, it's over for him. And he will get indicted. They're not going to let, yo, look, Trump's Justice Department might start an investigation, like, but this shit, like, kind of start streaming into normal shit that we into, like, and our guys. So we're just like, we're going to snuff that shit out, right? Maybe throw Joel Greenberg to the wolves, but we're not going to let our boy Matt Gaetz go to the wolves because his daddy's rich and shit. Bill Barr's Justice Department may have done that. Joe Biden's Justice Department ain't going to do that. Like, you think they're not going to take the opportunity to destroy this guy? And they're not even they don't have to make shit up. They just got to do their job. No way. There's no way he gets out of this. No way. He is going to get indicted. And again, this is not a Florida issue, right? Like, this is not a local investigation. This is a federal investigation. There's no way Merrick Garland his Justice Department doesn't take this all the way to the end. There's no way.
Well, and that's the thing is that if you're a Trump dude and you have any like malfeasance that went on over the last couple of years, and you better hope that this shit is buried as deep as you can, because these people, there is no honor amongst thieves. Like, these people will sell, if they know about it, they will sell you out. And if Trump starts to get the pressure put on him heavily, he will throw everyone to the wolves to stay afloat.
Right. And that's like, let that be like our sort of like final point. We'll talk about this. Like, that's the thing about like this week, Weisselberg got all of his shit like pulled by the DOJ. They're like, no, let's see those documents, homeboy. The second Trump is under the gun, and he's never truly been under the gun, is over. Like, that's why you should have dumped this dude when he got fucking hamstrung with that first impeachment. You should have just gotten rid of him and been like, you know what? Great experiment. We're over it. Right, you might have weathered some serious political hits, but you would have been done with it. Now this dude
had boring fucking Mike Pence for 2 years.
Right, but now, and look, you would have gotten destroyed. You would have definitely gotten destroyed in this election. Mike Pence, they would have gotten. Joe Biden would have went to work on him. I'm not even sure Joe Biden would have needed to win. Right, with Mike Pence as president, people would have been like, "Well, we don't need Biden to beat Pence. We can pick anybody." Right, because that was the thing.
Biden might not have even run. Honestly,
he might not have actually.
Yeah,
right?
Like he might have been like, we're good.
Yeah,
like
any of these guys could take Pence. Get the fuck out of here, right? But I mean, that was the urgency of Joe Biden. It's like, we need a guy we know to beat this guy who seems unbeatable. Pence doesn't seem unbeatable. He's not unbeatable. So, they might have been like, fuck it, let's go Bernie. Like, fuck it, let's go Liz. Like, who knows, right? Like it could have been, you know, Kamala Harris. Like, and I, by the way, Kamala Harris would have beaten Mike Pence. Easy. Easy.
I mean, she did.
Yeah, in that debate, easy.
She quite literally did.
Right, so. Easy. So like this idea of if Pence would have been president, I think like we would have seen a whole different Democratic lineup too. But now they've put this dangerous guy outside of the defense of a Justice Department, no pardons for himself, mm-hmm. and he's got state crime issues. You think he's gonna fuck? You think Trump is the guy? Like, what in his history tells you that he's just gonna be like, yeah, I fucked up and I'll just go down. I'll go down swinging, but that's it. They got me. They got me.
I'm gonna take my medicine.
Right. The buck stops with me. No, it don't. No, it don't. Guess what? If I'm Weisselberg or any of these guys, yo, I'm signing a deal with the FBI immediately. Immediately. Yeah.
What can you give me? I've got all this dirt.
Yeah.
Like, I've literally got all the dirt. Make me an offer.
Right. I'd be like, okay. So here is a treasure trove of illegal documents of just massive corporate malfeasance for the last 30 years. Can I go? Like, where do I sign on the dotted line that I don't ever have to go to jail? Me or my kids. And they'd be like, just sign right here. And Andrew Weisselberg. Boom. Done. Here you go. They could burn this guy in the second because Trump can't plead. They're not going to let you plead. Yo, they're not giving Trump a deal. They're not. They're not going to give him a deal. They're going to be like, look, they might give you a deal on jail time. Well, we were going to throw you in jail for 50 years. We'll do 10. And he'll be like, oh, that's a good deal. Like, dude, you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it 10. But like,
for him, anything above 2 is like a death sentence, basically.
Oh, right? Yeah. The second he can't.
Can I get Big Macs and Diet Coke?
Is there a prison? Diet Coke button in jail? Is there?
Where's my hamburgers? Where are they?
Right. Like,
why don't you have Fox News on the TV?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Just don't allow him to call into any shows.
Steve Ducey's on. I need to make my morning phone call. Steve Ducey.
Where's my call? So like the second that is not an option for him, he'll burn the entire Republican Party down. He will. He will. And he doesn't care because guess what? He was never a Republican to begin with.
No.
He never was.
He was in it for the grift. He was in it for the power. That's it.
Yeah. So, look, they should be worried. Matt Gaetz, like anybody, like all those guys, that story that came out around the story, like, oh, Matt Gaetz was like showing pictures to other dudes in Congress. Like, look at these chicks I was banging over the weekend, bro. Those guys should be worried. If you like, and not because it's like they might not have known how old that woman is, right? Like, I'm not saying just because you know, like, hey, check out the boobs on this chick. You're like, yeah, you know, guys are fucking assholes, right? Like, we're a piece of shit. That doesn't make you guilty. But if any of those guys were like, yeah, and he's like, yeah, man, for $900, you can fuck her too. And they're like, hell yeah, hook me up. If any of them did that, and there is nothing in my being that believes that didn't happen. There's definitely one of those dudes that's like, hook me up, Matt. Come on, dude. If any of those guys did that, you're in a world of trouble. Because Matt Gaetz going to throw your ass under the bus. No, mm-hmm. Representative Louie Comer fucked her. Like, you think it won't happen? Of course it will. Trying to save himself. Because he's young. If they tell mm-hmm. you're going to do 15 years in prison, hard time, and he's like, can you reduce it to 5 if I give you all these other people? He'll do that shit. Trump old. He's going to burn everything to the ground. Matt Gaetz will sell his friends out. He don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. They both are dangerous, but for different reasons. So we'll end it there. Good luck, Republican Party. Ain't nobody to save you, man. Ain't no Justice Department to squash this shit.
Well, and in that line, if there is any Democrats with some malfeasance shit in their backgrounds, and I'm sure that there is.
100%.
You know, that's just how it goes. You better fucking get your house in order real quick.
And look, I don't want Merrick Garland's Justice Department to go light on them either. Fuck them up.
No. If you find out something, absolutely.
Yeah.
Full extent. Like, I mean, you know, it sucks that like Bob Menendez is still in Congress.
Yo, that's the most ridiculous. Go to jail. Like, go to jail. Come on, you know. Oh, hey, guys. That,
but he's a fucking committee chairman, for Christ's sake.
Bye-bye. Gone.
Yeah, that's bullshit, too.
Yeah.
That's
bullshit. No, it is. Like, people are like, what about Bob Menendez? Who's defending him? Like, not me. No. Get gone.
No, he should have been gone to prison.
Yeah. No, get the fuck out of here. So, yeah. No, you better hope that whoever you are, you better hope you didn't tie any of your dirt to Matt Gaetz, yo. You better pray you didn't. Nah, yo. Mm-mm. Fuck that. If I was in Congress, hey, man, check out these pictures. I'd rather not. I'd rather not. Nope. I come in. I vote. I do my job. I go home. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me, Matt Gaetz. I don't trust you. Like, I don't trust you. But, yeah, you know, look. I find it hard to believe that there wasn't a Republican like, you know, send me that. What's her name on Venmo, bro? Like, oh, you put Venmo on public, you fucking idiot. Good. So, all right, that's it for us. Do you think what? All right, we'll go since we're back to like scandal ridden shit. Wild predictions, Brad. Wild predictions for this coming week.
Oh, for this coming week. Ooh. DOJ announces pursuit of indictment against Matt Gaetz in the next week.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Looking back at the stories, it already happened. I was going to predict that McConnell was going to walk back his hey, shut up and donate shit. Yeah, he already walked that back. Of course. He was like, my bad, yo. I'm sorry.
I was just kidding.
I was just fucking around because I looked at my money and I was like, oh, shit, we in trouble.
I realized that, that was hypocritical even for me. Like, I know you think I'm the most cynical guy in politics, but even that is a bridge I'm not willing to cross.
The money line. That's the line. I'm not willing to cross the money line. I think we're gonna see a bigger infrastructure bill. I think that $2 billion now that it's almost solidified that Republicans are completely off the reservation. Joe Manchin is now signaling like they have to go to Republicans for shit in order to get a vote. I think Joe Biden is gonna do exactly what he did with the COVID relief bill. Bring them in. Have them talk their shit, and they'll be like, cool, we're not doing any of those things. And then they're going to be like, fuck it, we're going to go bigger.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think they're going to pressure Manchin, be like, you going to be the one guy? You going to stand between this? And my bet is they do what we talked about earlier. You know, there's like mad money in here for West Virginia. And then the governor's going to call me like, the fuck you doing, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you got to do, absolutely, by the way, for him. The infrastructure bill is the easiest. Find out
call Jim Justice and be like, are you really gonna let your boy fuck this shit up for you? Like, is that gonna happen?
We got $10 million. $100 million for West Virginia.
We were gonna make this a $2 trillion bill. We now wanna make it a $2 trillion and $2 billion bill with $2 billion going right to West Virginia. All you gotta do is get your boy not to fuck this up.
Be like, beep, 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 beep. Hey, Joe, vote for that shit or we're gonna come for you. You know, blow up your houseboat. Like, that's all you got to do. Infrastructure is an easy thing to move people on because, again, it's state by state. By state, dude. What you need, I got you. That's it. What you need, I got you. Hey, West Virginia coal miners. Hey, here's $300 million for, you know, life skill lessons and shit like that. Come on, man. Do it.
Or not only that, but hey, here's another couple, you know, tens of thousands of jobs for your people.
Right. Right. That's what West Virginia, a governor of West Virginia wants to hear. Get my state some money to fix up our infrastructure. Cause look, I've been to West Virginia. It needs it. And you know, more money for jobs, more money for jobs. Joe Manchin will break on that shit if he gets a call from the governor like, yo, we need this. Have you been to this state? I know you're living on the high life in D.C. on a houseboat, but have you drive that tugboat back down here so we can take a look at this shit? Like, come on, man. That's how you move him. It's harder to move him on shit like COVID relief or like giving a fuck about the poor or any of that shit. Building shit, people understand because the shit is just tangible. You can see it, right? Crumbling roads and shit like that, people can see it. That's all you got to do. So, look. Do a Micah. Throw money at the problem.
Seriously.
That's it.
Like, hey, like by the time we get this train line done, you're going to be out of office. Don't you want to ride on the Joe Manchin Railway? Like, isn't that something you want to do?
Think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I think you're going to see it go bigger. And I totally could see them leaning on Jim Justice in order, because they did last time, lean on Jim Justice as a way to just like kick the shit out of Joe Manchin, which is, by the way, great move by the Biden administration. That's how you do it. Mm-hmm. That's a smart move. Just use his governor. Yo, you're supposed to represent us. We need that money. That's it. Talk to Republicans. Fuck Republicans. Get it together. All right. That's it for us. We will talk to you guys next week. Since this is coming out like on Monday, mm-hmm. we'll probably record sometime later in the week for the following week. Like, we're just going to be on the schedule, I think. All right. That's it for us. And we'll see you guys next time.
See ya.
Bye.